Governor Sean Parnell in January introduced Senate Bill 44 and a companion bill in the House. The legislation would nearly double the size of the Southeast State Forest created last year, adding 23 parcels of just over 23,000 acres of state land to the forest. At a hearing before the Senate Resources Committee, State Forester Chris Mache said the expansion will help boost the state's timber offerings.
Adding land to the state forest will ensure that the state's most suitable lands in Southeast remain available to contribute to timber supply through the state's ongoing timber sale program.
The lands in the bill are already owned by the state and can already be used for state timber sales. However, moving the parcels into the state forest system means they would primarily be managed for timber production. It's a change that Mache said will guarantee the lands stay in long-term public ownership and allow the state to focus on thinning young trees from some of the parcels that have already been logged.
The key difference this bill does is it allows us to start doing aggressive pre-commercial thinning on young growth stands, which is really an investment for the future because it will allow us to approximately double the volume on the same given acreage of land. So right now the allowable cut's about 8.5 million. In the future, as this forest is converted over to second growth or young growth, as it's referred to, that allowable cut will about double.
Mache estimated it would be another 30 to 40 years before the state could start harvesting second growth timber from some of the land and doubling the allowable harvest on the Southeast State Forest. More than half of the forest land identified in the bill is classified as old growth forest with older and more valuable trees and would also eventually be harvested, according to Mache. The land is spread throughout central and southern Southeast. Close to Petersburg, parcels in the bill are at Frederick Point on the eastern side of Mitkoff Island, and also near Woodpecker Cove, near the Ernie Haugen Public Use Area, and Favor Peak on the southern end of Mitkoff Island. Other parcels are on Zarembo Island and Wrangell Island, and also near Kaufman Cove, Whale Pass, Naugatuck, and Edna Bay. Kaufman Cove City Councilor Elaine Price told legislators that the council in that community is unanimous in its support for the forest expansion.
If the logging ends, it's going to be disastrous for Prince of Wales Island as a whole, not just Kaufman Cove. And we feel that the state's efforts to do something to stabilize the industry should be applauded, and we support it fully.
Likewise, industry representatives urged legislators to pass the forest expansion, including Wade Zammit, president and CEO of the Sea Alaska Timber Corporation.
Passage of Senate Bill 44 will help stabilize the timber from state lands and will allow these lands to be managed with a commitment towards forestry that is necessary for the long-term planning horizons those of us in the forestry sector require for such things as sustainable resource management.
Shelley Wright, Executive Director for Southeast Conference, a regional organization of communities and businesses, urged the state to boost its timber offerings.
Our region is in emergency mode. We need this forest designation in order to survive. The existence of a timber industry in Southeast Alaska depends on immediate action to provide a supply of economically viable sales.
Others who testified were concerned that the bill did not require processing of the timber in local mills. Jeremy Maxand of Wrangell was concerned that logs on the state lands would be exported in the round.
When they're transferred to state forests, they could very likely, and based on conversations I've had with people in the industry, will most likely just be cut down and shipped out. And there won't be any incentive to, revitalize our timber economy and to possibly sustain for the long term, not 5 or 10 years, but 50 years, a smaller value-added mill operation in our community.
Maxand urged lawmakers to include incentives for local processing of the timber. Eric Lee of Petersburg agreed it was an important distinction to make.
Round log export and local value-added processing are very two different things. Yes, round log export could create as many jobs as local value-added processing, but only for the very short period of time that logging companies need to cut down the trees and ship them out. After that, when the trees are gone, the jobs are gone. And that's the real reason round log export is so damaging to local economies. It's just not sustainable.
State Forester Mache told committee members that the state cannot restrict round log export, but does have policies to encourage value-added manufacturing. And Owen Graham with the timber industry group, the Alaska Forest Association, asked legislators to keep the export option open.
Most of the wood the state has sold in the last 5 years has been domestically processed, and we think that's a good practice, but we also think the state needs to hang on to log export as a tool to use to manage their program. You know, the markets go up and down, and export markets are a good place to put your timber if the local or the domestic markets aren't doing well at the time. Right now we have good markets, and we desperately need more timber. So.
Other Southeast residents panned the bill or sought changes. Ketchikan Borough resident Mike Salee was concerned with the loss of hunting opportunity in new clear cuts and thick stands of new trees.
I find SB 44 in its current form to be overly timber-centric, primarily benefiting one or at very best a few large-scale timber operators, and lacks sufficient attention to long-standing multiple use on the lands involved.
And Joe Sebastian of Kuprinoff wanted some concessions in the legislation.
If this bill is to go through, we need to drop the Rowan Bay parcel, the Hook Arm parcel on Doll Island, and we also need to create some new state parks so that if the two go hand in hand, at the end of the 100 years, we can have one program that at least will have paid for itself and have served the public instead of more endless rows of second growth clear cuts stretching hundreds of years into the future.
The committee made no changes and voted to move the bill. That version next goes on to the Senate's Finance Committee. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicnicki.